Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Money and Me. I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. Goldman Sachs Asia strategists say markets are facing a troubling triad: rising rates, recessionary risks, and dollar strength. But they do expect some stocks to benefit. So what exactly is on investor conviction lists in today's markets? Meanwhile, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said he will back interest rate increases until prices start falling towards a healthy level. Earlier this month, the Fed raised benchmark borrowing rates by 0.5 percentage point, the second increase of 2022, as inflation runs around a 40-year high. And on Tuesday, he repeated his commitment to getting inflation closer to the Fed's 2% target, cautioning that might not be an easy task and it could come at the expense of a 3.6% unemployment rate, which, by the way, would be just above the lowest level since the late 1960s. Cheng Chai Sun, head of investment at Provident, joins us to help decipher what all this means for you, the investor. Chai Sun, good morning.
Morning, Michelle.
So stocks, markets are down as they have been for pretty much all of this year. And we know that stocks have fallen sharply recently. What do you think is driving the move lower in the markets? What's driving sentiment?
Yeah. Stocks and bonds have indeed had a very difficult time recently. If you just look 1 month back, the S&P 500 is down about 7% in the past month. STI is down about 3%. Hang Seng Index is down around 2%. And bonds, even if you measure it by the Bloomberg Global Aggregate Index, you know, it's very commonly used as a barometer for global bonds, it's down about 2.5%. And this is after, you know, the rebound of the past couple of days. So it was actually worse a couple of days ago, which, of course, does highlight how fast things can change. But, you know, all this shows that, yeah, it's been a difficult time in the stock and the bond markets recently. And the main driver for this is what you just mentioned recently. It continues to be this uncertainty around inflation and its impact on economic growth in the future. Because, as you know, we've been hearing this for the past few months, and the story really hasn't changed. Inflation continues to be an issue across most of the world, and it's driven by both sides of the demand and supply equation. And we've had unprecedented stimulus to combat the pandemic in the form of QE, low rates, and this has led to soaring demand because in many developed world countries, people were essentially, you know, given cash, told to spend it, support the economy, and not work because we had to stay at home for quite a bit. And on the supply side now, you know, we have an Omicron outbreak causing supply disruption from factories in China. Mm-hmm. And the war in Ukraine is adding a lot of pressure to energy supplies, agriculture supplies, and raw material for manufacturing. And this soaring inflation is making central banks act to try and reduce demand by raising interest rates. Right? They can't really affect the supply side of the equation because that's beyond a lot of people's control at this point. But, you know, they can reduce demand by raising rates, and higher rates reduce economic growth because it incentivizes saving, investing, disincentivizes you to spend. And the markets are concerned that the central banks will not be able to thread that needle, so to speak, you know, to reduce demand to the right level to stop inflation, but not reduce demand so much that they cause a recession. And so we see all this volatility because investors are worried about, I mean, a couple of days ago, they were just worried about, oh, you'll raise rates too high, there'll be a recession. And so markets are trying to adjust to whether or not central banks will get it right or get it wrong. And that's why we have the volatility.
Okay, let's pick up on that. So when stocks and bonds are both down because of the Fed, how do we play defense? We're going to get into that in just a while, Chai Sun. But first, help us understand the Fed's moves in May, a double barrel moves. What exactly was announced and how has that impacted the stock and bond markets?
Yep. So the Fed announced, you mentioned earlier, a 50 basis points or 0.5% rate hike to the Fed funds rate. The second shot they fired, second barrel, is they announced that they would start to shrink their balance sheet, which has expanded from $4 trillion from before the pandemic to $9 trillion now. So they plan to allow $60 billion of assets on the balance sheet to mature and not replace them. Because how they have expanded the balance sheet is they've been going out there to do buying bonds, buying assets to support the market, right, to support the lending. But now they're going to let $60 billion of it mature and not replace it each month. And it's going to rise up to $120 billion in September this year. So if they a month. So if they keep this pace, it's going to take 4 to 5 years for the Fed to bring their balance sheet down to the pre-pandemic level. And what this means is that aside from raising rates to sort of reduce demand, they're also reducing the monetary supply. They're constricting credit even more, because instead of supporting banks and lending by creating more money by buying assets, they are shrinking it by, you know, allowing it to mature and they're not replacing it. So if the private markets don't take up the slack, then there will be, you know, $120 billion less of any kind of US dollars in the system every month going forward. So that sort of is driving the volatility, because I think the market expected the Fed to announce the hikes in the runoff, and the uncertainty is around how high the Fed will have to hike, because where they're expecting things to go is to, or rather, the current rate is 75 basis points to 1%, and they're guiding the raise rates by 0.5% at the June and July meetings, and at least 0.25% at September and November. So they're looking at a possible Fed funds rate of 2.5% at the end of the year. Well, so, you know, it took the Fed 3 years to raise rates to 2.5% the last time they did it, back in 2016 or 2018, and they stopped at 2.5%. And now we're looking at going up all the way to 2.5% in just a year. And they might have to go even further, because the 10-year break-even, which measures the expected average inflation of the U.S. for the next 10 years, is now 2.7%. So even at 2.5%, you're not having a rate high enough to actually bring prices down. You've got to go above what the inflation rate is expected to be. So, you know, and nobody knows when the Fed will have to stop. So, you know, the market is, right now it's like they might have to go above 2.7%, but there's the uncertainty of will they have to go even higher to just make sure prices come down more quickly.
I'm going to put to you a little point of debate that's evolving in the active trading community. Chaisen, the debate that's evolving in the active trading community seems to be, you know, are we going to see recession capitulation mode that is short, or a particularly deep recession? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the trillion-dollar question. I mean, I think we all hope that it will be short, but I think it's not so simple this time around because, well, first of all, we have inflationary pressures that we've not seen, essentially, in the last 30 years, at least, you know. Yeah. I mean, if you look at Singapore's core inflation rate, it's at a 10-year high of 2.9% in March. And, you know, MAS and MTI are both guiding that, you know, the continued supply chain disruptions and increases in commodity prices are really going to keep the inflationary pressure high. And I think inflation is not really going to go away that quickly, because the conflict and the war in Ukraine continues to drag on. Of course, we hope for a quick resolution, but it is also at this point hard to see a quick resolution to the fighting. And also, due to all the disruptions in the past 2 years, companies are also now, you know, looking at their supply chains and considering maybe adjusting how their supply chains work instead of global, maybe more regional. And this also will have the effect of raising prices, because companies might no longer look for the cheapest location with the best cost advantage to manufacture. They might consider other factors. That means, you know, prices might be higher for a bit longer. So we might have to have higher rates in the world for a longer period of time. And, you know, we haven't really had a situation where, since 2008, where rates have been anywhere near 3%. So, you know, if rates go up to above 3%, it's really, at this point, it's an unknown how the economies will adjust. And so it's hard to say how long any kind of downturn will be. But, you know, having said that, eventually economies and markets will sort of figure it out. I mean, I guess after the dot-com crash, the U.S. market was down for about 3 years. You know, after that, it came back quite strongly. And so it might be a bit longer than what we are used to, but, you know, it'll end at some point and growth will pick up again.
It'll end at some point. Okay, well, we'll look out for that. Inflation isn't going away anytime soon. The Fed may have to clamp down on it even harder. As an expert market watcher, what is your take on the inflation outlook right now, Chaisen?
Yeah, I mean, mentioned earlier, but right now, I think inflation is likely to remain quite sticky, at least for the next 3 to 6 months. And it hopefully will moderate towards the end of the year as economies and companies adjust. I mean, so outside of, you know, core inflation right now, food and energy prices are likely to continue to remain elevated because there's a lot of supply chain disruption, especially from the war in Ukraine. And it's very hard to switch on new supplies of energy or agriculture quickly. A lot of investment is required to tap a new energy source. And, you know, time is needed to grow crops and also time needed to adjust all the shipping and supply chains to reconfigure around new sources of crops or energy. So short of a quick resolution to the war, yeah, it's likely to remain a bit sticky for energy and food prices. Definitely, probably till the end of the year, at least. On the, you know, supply chain side, hopefully, as China is exiting the lockdowns, particularly in Shanghai, that might ease the supply chain situation for manufactured goods significantly in the coming months. And then hopefully there will be some moderation, at least in terms of prices for manufactured goods in the next 3 to 6 months.
We've been getting lots of pitches for would-be inflationary havens, you know, fixed income ETFs, for example, as a possible area that investors might be looking towards. So what is an investor to do given the current market situation, Chaisen?
Yep. The good news really is that the effect of higher interest rates right now is pushing up bond yields. So a higher bond yield means that the future expected return of the bond is higher. And we're already seeing that play out. The recent SSB yield is 2.53%. And that's really good news for savers. So in terms of something that's low volatility, safe, it's a good time to look at high quality short-term bonds as yields have improved. And one way to take advantage of these higher yields is to invest in a very short-term, high quality bond. You know, you collect the coupon, and when the bond matures, if rates have gone higher still, you can reinvest at an even higher yield in the future. It's not a perfect solution, but it is one of the ways that you can take advantage of the current situation to earn some return on your cash. Of course, please, high quality means, you know, strongly rated credits, not high yield bonds. So as long as the bond matures and you get paid back, you have the option to reinvest at an even higher yield in the future should, you know, inflation continue to be high and rates continue to go higher. You can continue to take advantage of the higher rate if you invest in a short-term bond.
Great.
So that's one way to take advantage of the current situation. Of course, falling prices for stocks also mean that there's a more attractive entry point right now, and investors can consider investing at lower prices in a globally diversified portfolio using, for example, low-cost index funds or ETFs. While we don't know when, you know, the stock market will recover exactly, the lower the price, the better the chances of having a higher expected return when the stock market does eventually recover. So investors with a bit more risk appetite can consider some form of stock market investment in a diversified portfolio. And one of the strategies to do it can be to dollar cost average to buy a little, you know, every couple of months. If the market goes down more, yeah, adding at a lower price and averaging down.
Great actionable insights there. Thank you, Chaisen, for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Michelle.
Cheng Chaisen is Head of Investment at Provident.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.